Welcome to the April 2010 podcast for Neurosurgical Focus. I'm Natalie Pinchem. The theme this month is craniopharyngioma. In this podcast, topic editor Warren Selman of the Neurological Institute at University Hospitals Case Medical Center in Cleveland, Ohio, speaks with Jeffrey Wyzoff of the Departments of Neurosurgery and Pediatrics at New York University School of Medicine. Dr. Wyzoff's article is entitled Craniopharyngioma Clinical Status Scale, a standardized metric of preoperative function and post-treatment outcome.
Dr. Wyzoff, why did you think a new scale was necessary for rating of craniopharyngiomas?
You know, I think we've come to the point where we've demonstrated that multiple treatment options will yield similar long-term disease control and survival rates. And I think what we don't have is an adequate way of comparing the outcome beyond disease control and survival. Everyone uses their own scale. Different people look at what they consider important. I think we're moving into an era where we have to now look beyond good-looking MRI scans and try to come out with some measure of quality of life. And our thinking is that quality of life is multidimensional. Some of it is your neurological exam, some of it's the endocrine deficiencies, and some of it is your day-to-day functional abilities. And we're trying to, with this scale, at least give an idea of how to grade it in a consistent fashion.
Excellent. And so how did you come up with the parameters that you chose to look at?
What we've done is look at what's already been described by a number of authors, by the group from Mayo Clinic, by Wen and Associates. And I think there's consensus that neurologic deficits are an aspect. So particularly among children, neurologic deficits tend to be well tolerated. Visual function, I believe everyone would agree, is a significant variable and one that perhaps takes more of a hit with radical surgery. Endocrinopathy and how well controlled it is. Hypothalamic dysfunction, DeVille and colleagues from Great Ormond Street, as well as the group from Necron-Fontenoy in Paris, have talked quite a bit about using hypothalamic dysfunction, hypothalamic grading. And then finally, we added another measure for how you're functioning on a day-to-day basis, looking either at grade level or job performance. What we didn't want to do is get into detailed neuropsychological evaluations, because they are both time-consuming, difficult to perform at times due to language and other socioeconomic barriers, as well as what we believe to be a fairly consistent trend in the literature, that detailed neuropsychological performance does not always correlate with real-life quality of life measures. So we took the five measures of neurologic deficit, visual function, endocrine function, hypothalamic function, and quality of life measure, and tried to put it on a relatively simple scale.
And so who needs to do this examination? Is this something that you personally as a neurosurgeon do, or do you think it needs to be done by someone else?
No, I think one of the nice things about this type of scaling is that it can be abstracted fairly easily from a good medical record, which is always nice to record data prospectively. I think this is something that a trained paraprofessional, a data manager, for example, could be able to abstract, and we think that it's something that can be applicable across multiple nationalities, different languages. It's nothing that needs to be necessarily done by a physician.
Obviously, I think this is a great step forward. Have you found that when you use it now that you first assess the patient preoperatively and postoperatively with this scale, or is this simply something that looks at outcome?
No, I think the benefit of the scale is that you can apply it both preoperatively and postoperatively. In developing the scale, we've obviously been using retrospective data. I think the next step is to apply it prospectively. After that is to try to come up with a statistical model that will weigh each of the different subscales in a manner that's appropriate to a person's overall level of function, perhaps correlating it with one of the other standard quality of life measures, like the SPF 36 or one of the other ones that are common in the quality of life literature.
Obviously, your practice is focused on pediatrics. Is this something that you feel that we can use also in adult patients?
Absolutely, because I think when it comes down to the basic problems with treatment of craniopharyngioma, they're similar. I think children may tolerate some of the deficits a little bit easier and adapt to them. Partial visual field cuts in general are well adapted by children. They don't seem to result in significant functional impairment, whereas a hemianopsia in an adult may be a devastating functional problem, even though they're otherwise intact. And I suspect when we try to validate the model going forward, particularly trying to put weighting to the various subscales, that there may be different weighting depending upon your age.
And is this something that you think will need to also involve the patients? I mean, do you envision yourself trying to weigh those for a particular patient, say, well, maybe they would tolerate better pituitary function loss, and I'd be more aggressive in that regard versus tolerating change in their visual status?
I think that's what we already are doing on a patient-to-patient basis. What I think a uniform scale will do is it'll allow us to collect the data prospectively and then look back and see whether or not the judgments we're making indeed impact on quality of life. And I think if that's our ultimate measure of success, that we'll have an 85-90% disease control with three different modalities, be it radiation, radical surgery, or intracystic therapy, then which of these modalities is ultimately going to provide the best quality of life, or even the best quality of life for an individual given their circumstances? So I think getting a uniform scale to raise the basic problems associated with craniopharyngioma is the first step, and then creating a statistical model that would hopefully help us predict the quality of life outcomes and be able to discuss them with the patient.
Well, great. And again, so this scale that does not rely really on whether or not the patient has ever been treated before or not, this should really be able to be used for patients who have either coming in for their primary treatment or patients who have already been treated before.
Absolutely. The scale will be able to show you differences between pre- and post-treatment effects. At this point, it's an ordinal scale. Perhaps as we get more familiar with usage, a scale hopefully will be adopted by other centers. We can decide whether it needs to be more of a weighted scale, but the measurements themselves are pretty straightforward. I mean, I think they build on what other authors have done previously.
And there is no radiological component to this. Is that simply because we're focusing on the outcome, or how do you evaluate in that sense the images that you're provided in making some of your decisions?
Again, I think the scale to some degree divorces clinical decision-making in terms of susceptibility or looking at how much of a margin one has to place on a radiation field. And those are different decisions. I think what the scale is looking at is evaluating the outcome from these decisions. It may turn out that ultimately, if the scale provides useful information in the pre-treatment phase, we may know that someone with a low ranking on the scale may be more vulnerable to one treatment or another, and that may influence decision-making. And we may ultimately be able to correlate certain radiographic imaging with changes on the scale on the post-treatment phase.
And so we've said that it's divorced from radiological imaging. Have you found that you've used the scale at all to make decisions regarding what type of surgical approach you use on a certain patient based on the scale? Or again, is that something that you've chosen to divorce so that you can better assess that in the future?
I don't think we've used it for upfront decision-making at this point. I think we're still in the phase of looking at the scale, applying it to our patient population. We're now in discussion with some other groups with large craniopharyngioma populations, seeing if they'd be willing to apply the scale retrospectively to their population, see if it validates what they have written in their own outcome measures. I guess the real plea with this article is that either this scale or some similar scale should be widely adopted so that we'll be able to compare what at this point is very fragmented outcome measures in a way that makes sense across the literature.
The other thought is obviously a scale like this should be able to be placed. I mean, are you thinking about a registry, or could we make the plea for a registry at this
point?
That we could put in, you know, online with facilitation of, you know, NeuroPoint Alliance or something like that. This should be readily adaptable to that.
I think this is one of the great opportunities for us in neurosurgery to get some comparative effectiveness research without having to go through randomized trials, which will never be undertaken with such volume of disease with tremendous philosophical differences. Nonetheless, by being able to evaluate the patient, put them in a central registry, I think this would be a very powerful tool for really saying what gives us the best bang for the buck.
I think that would be a great way to do this and could be implemented almost immediately, especially with the ability to use the NeuroPoint Alliance, which I believe will be going live very shortly. So this would be a great way to to start that?
I think if we can get 2 or 3 centers just to look at the scale, try to apply it retrospectively to their patient populations for a reasonable degree of validation, I think then we could go forward. We could use this scale in a registry. Again, I think it's something that would take less than 10 minutes for a trained data manager to abstract from those charts, or even less time for a physician. And I think it's a very powerful tool for advancing not just our knowledge, but our knowledge of outcomes.
Excellent. And I think we, just so we have the correct name, I think we did change the name to Craniopharyngioma Clinical Status Scale, as opposed
right.
to just outcomes, so that you could use it both pre-treatment and post-treatment.
Exactly.
This concludes our podcast. Please join us in May 2010 for a discussion on military neurosurgery, past and present. For information on how to submit your research or to view upcoming topics, please visit thejns.org and click on Call for Papers under the Neurosurgical Focus icon. You can send comments to jnspodcast@thejns.org, and you can also follow us on Twitter.